chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. If you could start that PowerPoint, please. Matthew chapter 14. And we might stand for the reading of the word. I like to do that. I know it's only tradition. It's not required, but it is. I think it's good to show reverence for the word of God. So beginning at verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Father, as we open your word this evening, I pray you'd speak, Lord, to your church. Lord, let me not get in the way of what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So you're thinking that I'm preaching the same message. You can sit, sorry, you may be seated, sorry. You can stand if you want to. You might think that I'm preaching part two of this morning's message. And I must admit this morning, because there has been no correspondence bended into between the pastor and I. And when he got up and read his scripture and started preaching this morning, I thought, oh no, what am I going to preach tonight now? But this is obviously God wants to talk to somebody today. If it's the same message in the morning and the evening, then obviously it's something someone needs to hear. Well, this is a well-known story, isn't it, that I just read you out of the book of Matthew chapter 14. It's the time that Jesus sent his disciples away while he went alone up in the mountain to pray. And his disciples, they were in a boat and they were battling the wind and the waves when suddenly they see Jesus walking on the water, on the ocean. And if we read the earlier chapters in Matthew chapter, sorry, the earlier verses in Matthew chapter 14, you get a little bit a fuller picture of what's happening here. And in the beginning of Matthew chapter 14, the first few verses, you'll find that Herod had put John the Baptist in jail. And that the urging of Herodias and her daughter, who danced for him, and he promised her whatever she wanted, and she asked for the head of John the Baptist, urged on by her mother. And that's exactly what happened. Herod killed John the Baptist, beheaded him. And the scripture says that the disciples of John came and got his body and buried him and then went and told Jesus what had happened. And when they told Jesus what had happened, Jesus then went into the wilderness, got in a boat and went into the wilderness on his own. But the people heard that he was going to the wilderness, and great multitudes went into the wilderness to follow him and to hear from him and to see what he's doing and to get healed and to hear his preaching, hear his teaching rather. So that's what happened when Jesus went into the wilderness on his own after John the Baptist had been killed. There was multitudes of people. And so he had compassion on them, the scripture says, and he healed them and he taught them. But then as the day was getting longer, he said, how can we feed all these people? And if you keep reading Matthew chapter 14, then comes the famous miracle of the loaves and the fishes, where they found a young lad with, five loaves and two small fish. And Jesus had them sit down in rows, and he blessed the food and broke the food, and he fed 5,000 men. And when they took up the leftovers, there was 12 baskets of leftovers. And then the very next verse was verse 14 that we just read, where he says, immediately he'd done that, immediately after doing the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, he sent his disciples to the other side of the ocean, to the other side of the sea, and he sent the multitudes away, and he went up in the mountain on his own to pray. Well, there's accounts of this story in two other Gospels as well. You can also find that in Mark chapter 6 and John chapter 6. Both have accounts of this story of the miracle of the loaves and fishes, and then the disciples being sent across the sea and then encountering a storm, and Jesus comes walking on the water. And sometimes if you read the parallel accounts, you can get extra information that may give you some more understanding about what's happening. So let's look, for example, in John chapter 6 to see if it tells us why Jesus sent his disciples away and went up on the mountain to pray. Let me read this. Oh, sorry, this is what I've called this. Walking on water is the title of this message this evening. John chapter 6, verses 13 to 15. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. So the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain himself alone. So, as I said, John the Baptist had just been beheaded by Herod. Jesus went alone into the wilderness to pray. The crowds found him and he had compassion, healed them and taught them, but then performed the miracle of the loaves and fishes. When he had done that, this multitude wanted to crown him king of Israel. And we know that this was not God's plan. That would have been easy for him to do, wouldn't it? Because he was the rightful king of Israel. He was on the throne of David. And it would have been easy for him by public acclamation and uprising to put him on the throne. He'd have military might. He'd have forces on his side. But that wasn't what he came for. That wasn't the plan of God. That's not the reason that Jesus was born into this world. The scripture says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He said he came to give his life as a ransom for many, not to be crowned as an earthly king. And I thought perhaps also he wanted to protect his disciples. That's why he sent them away. Because can you imagine the wrath of Herod coming down upon his disciples when he just killed John the Baptist and here's an insurrection and the crowd's trying to crown this rabbi as king. So perhaps he was trying to save their, help them, protect them, and he sent them to the other side of the sea. But these disciples, many of them, were fishermen. And so therefore they were adept at handling boats. They'd been in probably nearly every day of their adult life, they'd been on the Sea of Galilee, most of them. They were fishermen, and they knew boats. They were experts in handling a boat. So that's what happened. We see in the scripture that the disciples left in a boat to go to the other side of the sea, and it says they left when the evening came. Now, if you know Jewish time, the evening, the end of the day, is 6 p.m. So I imagine, it doesn't give us an exact time, but it must be around 6 o'clock at night, these disciples got into a boat and started going to the other side. And then we read that when Jesus came walking on the water to them, it was the fourth watch of the night. Now, a watch is 3 hours. First watch is 6 to 9. Second is 9 to 12. Third is 12 to 3 a.m. And the fourth watch is 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So the disciples had left to row to the other side in this boat around 6 p.m. And sometime after 3 a.m., comes Jesus walking on the water. So they've been rowing, trying to cross the sea for at least 9 hours. Now the scripture says the wind was contrary. That sounds pretty like nondescript, doesn't it? Oh, the wind was contrary. If you've ever tried to row a boat into the wind, you'll know how difficult it was. I remember going fishing in Lake Eucombine, which is up in the mountains here. If you don't, it's a trout. Well, it's not supposed to be a trout fishery, but that's what it is. It was actually a man-made lake. It was dammed over the Snowy hydroelectric scheme, which I believe they're going to redo. Part two, when if you're a Canberran born and bred like me, there wasn't many in my era that were born and bred in Canberra. When I went to school, when I went to primary school in the 1960s, I was the only one that was born here. But there was this big project down in Cooma, the Snowy Mountains Hydro Scheme. And all these people came, emigrated to Australia to work on this. And so we got all these Italians and Greeks and Croatians and Yugoslavs and Dutch. And all these people came to work, and the majority of them settled in Canberra. And that was... I'm getting off the track, aren't I? So we've always been a multicultural city. That's one of the reasons we're a blessed city. But when I went up to Lake Eucombine fishing one time, we were in a little tinny and we went out into this little boat with a little motor. And Lake Eucombine is quite a very large lake. And when we got to where we were fishing, in the afternoon the wind came up and we had to get back. And we had a motor. And trying to get back into the wind when the waves got only about that high was very difficult. It was nearly impossible. So you can imagine these guys in the sea with strong headwinds against them, but also waves. It's talking about the waves being strong. And so if you read John chapter 6, you'll see that in this 9 hours of rowing, it says they travelled 3 or 4 miles, or between 5 and 6 kilometres. In 9 hours, it took them. So let's think about the circumstances of this event. Disciples had been in the presence of Jesus. They'd heard that Herod had killed John the Baptist, but they went into the wilderness and they saw him heal these people. And then this great miracle where he fed 5,000 men using 5 loaves and 2 fish. They heard his teaching. They'd been walking with him. They'd seen him perform miracles. They'd heard the words of God that came from him. And then suddenly, Jesus sent them away to travel to the other side of the sea on their own, without him present. So up until this time, from the time that they'd left their nets or their occupations and become disciples of Jesus, they'd been always with him. And now they're on their own. Their entire walk at this time had been in the presence of Jesus, and now here they are in a boat, in the sea, in the night, in a storm, with no Jesus, with Jesus not present. As I said, these men were experienced fishermen, and they knew how to handle a boat, and they knew the rough waters of the Sea of Galilee, but this night was especially rough. It was hard work. They had to work extremely hard, but weren't getting very far at all. They'd only just managed to get a little way. And to me, this is a picture of our lives without Jesus. It doesn't matter how much knowledge we have. It doesn't matter our experience. It doesn't matter our life skills. Without Jesus, life is a struggle. And even though we work hard, the wind and the waves and the storms of life are against us. We battle and we battle just to get a little bit ahead. Maybe that's not you, but that's me. Every little bit of distance that I gain takes an enormous amount of work. And then you can't even afford to rest because you're forced backwards faster than you got there. These disciples in this boat in the storm, to me, as I said, is a picture of what life's like when you're not in the presence of Jesus. It's a struggle, and it's all you can do to stay afloat. Don't you think life is like that? Don't you agree that when you don't have Jesus with you, it's all you can do just to keep afloat? And the disciples, think about how tired and how weary they must have been, worn out by the struggle, just to try and get to the other side. And that's all they've been going for hours and hours and hours, and they just weren't getting hardly anywhere with all their efforts. They must have been exhausted. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. And then here comes Jesus walking on the water. And what was the reaction of the disciples? It says they cried out. This is what it says in the New Living Translation. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. Terrified, I can imagine that. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." So these experienced fishermen, these strong men so experienced in boats and the sea, were terrified by what they saw, and they were so afraid that they cried out in fear. And Jesus had to call to them to allay their fears, to calm them down. He said this in the next verse, 27. Jesus spoke to them at once. He said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I'm here." Okay, so we're picturing the scene. Here's the disciples' experience, what it's like to try and live without Jesus. They're struggling and working, but not getting very far at all. Then suddenly, unexpectedly, Jesus comes walking on the water, doing something completely unexpected, something they hadn't even considered as possible, so much that they cried out in fear. But Jesus calmed them and assured them that, "Yes, it's me, it's me. Don't be afraid, it's me." And I wondered, here they are on this ship with no Jesus with them, in this great struggle, and they've been going for hours and hours and were battered by the wind and battered by the waves, and they weren't getting anywhere, and they didn't look like they were going to get there either. It would have, I don't know how wide the Sea of Galilee is, but 6 kilometres can't be much of it. They would have had a long way yet to go, I think. And I wondered, Jesus said, "Yes, it's me. Don't worry, it's me." Why didn't they ask him for help? Why didn't they say, "Oh, thank goodness you're here, Jesus. Get into the boat, now we'll be right." Why didn't they do that? They were getting nowhere on their own. They'd seen what he could do, and here was their opportunity to get him back into their presence, and yet they didn't call for him to get in the boat with them. This is what it says in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. "Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he would have passed them by." He was just walking along. He wasn't walking to get in the boat with them. He was walking past. And they saw him and they got afraid and cried out. And he said, "Don't worry, it's just me. Don't panic. See you over there." And yet they didn't. I like to think if it was me, I'd say, "Can you come and help us? We ain't getting anywhere without you, Jesus. Can you come and help us? We'd rather be with you, thanks, than in this situation, struggling without you." And I was wondering, is that what prompted Peter to say, "If it's you, let me come to you"? If these guys aren't going to ask you to come here to be with us, let me come there and be with you. Because I've experienced what it's like without you. And this struggle is not for me. I'd rather be with you because I've seen what you can do. And if the others aren't calling for you to get into the boat with us, then I'm going to come to where you are. I wonder. Anyway, Jesus called him. "Yep, come. Come." Another thing I noticed is that Jesus didn't stop the storm. Now, isn't that unreasonable? Because we know he could have. If he called someone to step out on the water, which someone had no one had ever done before, could he have made it a little easier? But experience has told me that many times when Jesus calls us, it's to keep faith in him regardless of what the circumstances around us. Many times, he doesn't call us and then smooth the path. He just calls us and asks us to trust in him. And so that's what he did. He wanted Peter to have faith to trust him in the midst of the storm while it was still raging all around them. So Peter got out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat and he began walking on the water. But when Peter saw the storm raging all around him, he became afraid, Scripture says, and began to sink. Jesus reached out and called him, caught him, stopped him from sinking, lifted him up. And Jesus didn't laugh at Peter. He didn't say, oh, look at you. You can't. I'm walking the water. Look at you. You can't do it. And he didn't let him drown either. Peter asked to come and Jesus said, come. And he started to sink. Jesus just didn't let him sink. He reached out and he lifted him up. And he does the same for us. If the storm has made us so afraid that we cry out to Jesus, he's not going to let us perish. He's going to lift us up. And notice also that Peter only began to sink when he took his eyes off Jesus and instead focused on the storm around him. The pastor spoke about this morning, didn't he? About having faith, but where's your faith? Is your faith in the power of the storm or is your faith in the power of God? And if we let the storms of life take our focus off Jesus, we also will find ourselves sinking just as Peter did. And just as Peter did, if we cry out to him, he will lift us up and preserve us. And then Jesus asked Peter why he doubted. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? And this seems to mean that it was doubt that caused Peter to take his eyes off Jesus and instead focus on the storm. This is what it says in Mark chapter 6, verses 51 and 52, after Jesus had saved Peter. Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. That's amazing. So this miracle of Jesus walking on the water and having faith in the storm was related to the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. It happened immediately after. And it says here, they were amazed that the wind stopped because they didn't understand about the significance of the miracle of the loaves. If they understood the significance of the miracle of loaves, they wouldn't have been amazed that the wind stopped. So what was the significance of the miracle of loaves? Well, you can probably answer that yourself. Jesus, there's lots of significant points of that story. Jesus can take the little bit that we offer him and he can multiply it and make it to fill the need. Jesus can do what seems impossible to us. He fed 5,000 men with enough food for one or two. He even cares for the small everyday things in our lives. He didn't invite the people into the wilderness. He went to the wilderness to be alone, and yet these people turned up, and yet he cared that they would be hungry for one day. A time, really? That's how much Jesus cares for the small everyday things in our lives. The miracle of the loaves showed that Jesus is God. It showed that he's in control, and it shows that he cares for those who follow him. Every one of those disciples should have had the faith to trust in him. They saw what he had done in the miracle of the loaves. And I think every one of them, I think, could have walked on the water just like Peter did. If they too had recognized that trying to do it without Jesus being with him was not working, so they knew where Jesus was, that's where they wanted to be, and cried out to him, I think they too could have walked on the water. And as it says in that scripture there, as soon as Jesus entered the boat, the wind stopped. As I said this morning, this shows that Jesus is the God of the storm. He has power over the storm. Sometimes he calls for us to walk in faith while the storm rages, as he did to Peter on the water, but to keep our eyes on him while that storm is going all about us. If we do that, we won't sink. But if we begin to sink, he will reach out and lift us up. Sometimes he will calm the storm and stop it battering us. The point is, our faith needs to be in him whichever he chooses. If he chooses to have us go out on the water in the storm, in circumstances that are beyond our comprehension, and to have nothing to rely on except him, that's what he's called us to do. If he chooses to smooth the path, well, yay, Lord, I've put my hand up for that one. If you want to calm any storm, I'm happy for you to do that. But no matter what, you've got to keep your eyes and your faith and your trust in him, because he is the God of the storm. Understand the miracle of the loaves. Understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Keep your eyes on him no matter what, because Jesus is not just a crutch for the weak. He is God. He is the miracle working God. And the miracle of the loaves and the experience in the storm drove that home to the disciples in an even greater fashion than they ever experienced before. But they didn't understand the significance, or they would have been out on the water with him. They didn't understand the significance, or they would not have been amazed that he could calm the storm. In Matthew 14, 32 and 33, it says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, you are the Son of God. Jesus is bigger than anything we may face. Anything. No matter the storm in our life, he hasn't forgotten us. You may feel like he's just walking on past on his way to the other side while he's left you in the middle of the storm in the boat, working, working, working and getting nowhere. But he hasn't. He's called you to go to the other side. And he's called you to trust in him, because he is the God of the storm and he's the God of peace as well. He can help us no matter the storm. He can help us. Without him, life is a struggle just to stay afloat. But with him, we can walk on water. Let's stand this evening. Pastor preached this morning about where is your faith, having your faith in the right place. And as I said, this is a supplement to that, part two. But Jesus said to the disciples, why did you doubt? Don't you understand who I am? Don't you understand what I can do? Don't you understand how I care for you? Don't you know that you're my children? And if I sent you and called you, I will preserve you. He's the God of the storm. Understand the miracle. Understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Understand the miracle of him walking on the water. And understand the miracle of him calming the storm. He's able. He's able. Let's just put our trust in him and keep our eyes focused upon him. So we're going to sing a song now. And if you want to come and pray and cry out to him, do that. Always a good thing to do, but we're going to worship him. In-